Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening. The title of my talk this morning is It Takes All Kinds, and I knew it was appropriate for what's going on in the world, but it's also extremely relevant in relation to President Obama's speech on Friday. Anybody hear that? Get a chance to hear it or hear about it and all the debate that came after it and all the discussions that it has raised in this country and around the world. So the obvious question to the statement, it takes all kinds, the declarative statement is, it takes all kinds of what to do what? So let me answer that first because it isn't really that complicated. What I mean by that statement is, it takes all kinds of people to create a peaceful world that we all can live in. And if we eliminate or exclude anybody, as so many different people in the world seem to be trying to do right now, we are probably not going to survive as a race of beings. Or if we do, it'll be sort of like that post-apocalyptic Mad Max kind of thing, which I'm not really interested in being involved in. That's why learning to practice such powerful spiritual principles as tolerance, non-judgment, compassion, surrender, we could go on with the list, is not just a nice thing to do when we're being enlightened or when we feel like it. It's the most significant lesson that we need to learn, not for the future, but for right now. Because if we don't start doing that today, we are going to be very happy with what shows up tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. I mean, we may think it's bad right now with the Middle East and ISIS and the news and the Ukraine and the school shootings and Ferguson and Paris with Charlie Hebdo and Copenhagen and Al-Shabaab in Africa and all, everything else. And in a lot of ways, it is bad. But if we, and by we, I mean all sides, I'm not picking sides here, don't start honoring and accepting ourselves and those who are not like us, it can get a whole lot worse. Now, I think most of us have realized that we have entered a time in history where human beings are divided along almost every conceivable line you could think of. We're not only divided by unnatural boundaries or things like borders for countries, we are also divided based on politics, language, and resources. And every individual nation inside those borders is also divided within its own borders by race or religion or politics. And even within each religion and each political party, people are divided again and again by money and religion and power and all those things. So the truth is, all over the world, including here in the United States, we are divided not by boundaries and not by differences. We are divided by our ignorance of other cultures. That's what's dividing us, and we're killing each other because of it. We are divided in the world by black and white, young and old, male and female, gay and straight, rich and poor, Sunnis and Shiites, Democrats and Republicans, and on and on and on. In this country, not only are we just beginning to enter into another highly adversarial election cycle, each party is divided against itself and within itself, all the way across the board. And it's pretty sad when you think about it, especially, let's take the spiritual view, when we look around and see that the infinite variety of nature is getting along with itself just fine. Thank you very much. So why is it so difficult for us as human beings to get past that? That's a question we need to answer. Now, I've said many times that one of the things I love the most about this community, this particular community in this room, that I love the most about this community we've created is its diversity. To me, that's the most valuable contribution to the world of spiritual teachings like this one, the idea that we are all meant to work together as one because we believe that we are all one in the deepest and most spiritual sense of the word. Angela was talking about Atlanta, this great city that we live in. It's a great example because we have become such a diverse city. And the really cool thing is you don't have to drive up and down Buford Highway to see the diversity. You can see it everywhere in the city now. You can see it just by looking around this room. Everybody take a second and just look around at the people in this room, okay?
Now, there are differences that we can see very easily, like hair color, hair length, and hair quantity. Right, Rick? There you are. Here we go. You got it. Okay. And skin color and eye color and glasses or no glasses and age and gender and the way we dress. But from a spiritual perspective, and we're all spiritual beings first, there are even more differences that we can't see because they're not visible to the naked eye. These are differences that exist in here, in our heart and in our mind. Things like our ideas and our hopes and our values and our dreams and our passions and especially our fears. Especially our fears. The interesting thing is, these inner differences are not only just as real as the outer differences, they're even more important. They're even more significant because they are much more powerful. And I say that because each of our beliefs and ideas and opinions have the power to create either great things or, unfortunately, very bad things. So the idea I want to focus on this morning is that even though we don't realize it, for the entire human race, both our inner and our outer differences should be our greatest strengths, but we have made them our greatest weaknesses. Now, there's a song, we were going to play it, but it's a little long, and I think most of you have seen the video anyway from several years ago. And we used to sing this song over at SLCA during the second service when I was over there. It's a song called "It's in Every One of Us." Most of you familiar with that? It's in every one of us. You know, I'm not going to sing the whole thing. You can find it on YouTube. It's great. It's a beautiful song. And this video, what's so great about it is, you know, we'd have a screen here and it shows this constant stream of faces of every color, every race, every age, every gender from all over the world, men, women, and children, dressed in their native costumes, and most of them are smiling and looking straight into the camera, their eyes into yours. So every one of these people, so different to the eye, young and old, different races, different cultures, all of them completely human. But what makes it so great is you can see the presence of God shining out from their eyes. And what responds in us to those eyes is the God in us accepting the God in them. You see, when we see people in this way, when we see them smiling one after the other, laughing, just being totally present and open and trusting and human, it should remind us of the simple truth that when we look at anyone, what we are seeing is a reflection of ourselves. Because not only are we all human beings, we all want the same things in life. We all want to love and be loved. We all want to laugh. We all want to have friends that we can depend upon. We all want our family and our loved ones to be safe and happy. We all want to be free. That's a big one in the world. We all want to be of value to the world, right? We all want those things. No matter how we're expressing it, that's what we all want. So when we see these people in this video, eye to eye, we see ourselves. When we see their children, we see our children. Or their parents, we see our parents. We see our friends. We see our own family in them. We see completely different worlds on the outside that really are not that much different from our own. Now, part of the problem we face today stems from the fact that there are things about our differences that can actually be very appealing. There are things about our external differences that make us feel proud or special or unique. They help us to feel connected to other people who are just like us. They give us an identity. And in some ways, a lot of ways, that feels good. It feels comfortable. It feels safe. It feels familiar. It gives us a history, which is always a good thing, something we can share with others. But there's also a danger in it. Unfortunately, carried to extremes, that kind of thinking may be at least part of the reason why we've been so busy for so many centuries building walls in society instead of building bridges. That's why we end up living in our neighborhoods and wanting the other people to live in theirs. The problem is, if you look at it from a spiritual perspective, instead of focusing on what we have in common, we have been emphasizing and celebrating our differences, so that's primarily what we see. Which is not all that surprising, because all of the great spiritual teachers throughout history, and we all know who they were, have always told us that we will always attract more of into our life what is in our mind. Now, expand it a little. This is not just true for us as individuals, it's true for society as a whole. So when we focus on how different we are, even if we do it with the very best of intentions, we find it more and more difficult to see how similar we are. We have to understand that healing, which means bringing together things that should not be separated, like bringing together the edges of a wound, will never come, and it can never come until we make a conscious effort to bring ourselves together instead of holding ourselves apart. And this is true whether we're talking about race, religion, sexual orientation, different countries, different politics, or whatever our division happens to be. Now, it's very obvious in the political process, at least as it's been practiced in this country for the last 20 years or so, as the people running for office try to appeal to different groups based on their differences, we all start to see the country from the perspective of us versus them. You can especially see it very clearly over the last year or so. In fact, it seems to be accelerating as more and more people get scared. And even though we blame the candidates or the political parties or the money, it's not completely their fault because we have allowed this kind of approach to work. We have all participated in it directly or indirectly, some of us more, some of us less. So this morning I am here to proclaim personally, this is just me, that I believe this kind of thinking is spiritually counterproductive and it needs to stop. It needs to stop. And there's a good reason that it needs to stop. It needs to stop because we are always more successful in life and more effective at healing any perceived separation that exists when we all move forward towards a greater idea that joins us together rather than reacting fearfully to a more limited idea that keeps us apart. It's really that simple. The things that we talk about here every week, me, David, Angela, Ursula, whoever's speaking, like oneness and love and those things, are a great step in the right direction. That's why I am here, and that's probably why you're here too, because we understand how important this is. We know the truth that how we see this power that we call God and how we see ourselves in relation to God will ultimately determine how we see ourselves. And that will determine how we see other people and how we think and act when we're around them. Unfortunately, today, not only do a number of people believe that their God is different from everybody else's God, and probably better, that's sort of implied, there are all sorts of different opinions about what God wants. And that's where the most serious conflict in the name of religion comes in. That's why all these wars are being fought, both shooting wars and shouting wars over ridiculous and petty religious differences. That's why George Bernard Shaw, the great playwright, once said that Sunday morning from 11 to 12 was the most segregated hour in America. He was 100% right. We teach here that this power that created all of us, this power that continually expresses itself through us, has no religion, no gender, no skin color, no nationality, no sexual orientation. I say that every time I'm up here on this platform. This power is the creator of all those things and the substance of all those things, but it embodies none of them. It embodies none of them. We are the ones who make those kinds of artificial distinctions. You see, differences are not a problem until we start judging or evaluating each other based on those differences, thinking they're more important than they really are. Then, when other people have the nerve to judge us, we start to feel threatened and we react. And then they react and we react back and on and on and on. That's when things like discrimination and prejudice start to rear their ugly heads, followed closely by terrorism, wars, genocide, and so on. All the stuff that we see in the news every day. The truth is, God does not worry about diversity. It just creates. In other words, God is not politically correct. God doesn't care about differences. God doesn't try to explain or justify differences because God, this infinite intelligence, doesn't see any differences. It's all just different forms of the same stuff, all being created by the same power in the same way. All of it, not some of it, all of it. I mean, if you take an infinite creative intelligence and you combine it with infinite abundance and infinite possibility, you're bound to come up with a lot of variety, which is a word I like better than diversity personally, but it's still all God, not different parts of God. Every bit of it is God. Dr. Holmes says it this way. He says, there is one substance in the universe taking different forms and different shapes and becoming different things. Unity is expressed in multiplicity. Okay, and Emerson says, life is unity passing into variety, passing into more and more variety, forever, ever expanding. We are all individual expressions of a single intelligence that has an irresistible urge to express itself in an infinite variety of ways. That's why every single one of us comes out of that same power, but as we do, we each express it in a slightly different way. Now, you don't have to look around the room to see this. Go to the botanical gardens, not today, but this spring, okay? In 6 weeks or so, and see for yourself. You know, you can see an entire bed of the same kind of roses like there, every single rose different from every other, even though they're all identically the same kind. Or you can see beds of all sorts of different kinds of roses, but they're all roses. They all have that in common. And then right next to them, you walk a little farther and you see a huge patch or bed of geraniums. And these geraniums are not saying, who do those roses think they are? You know, okay? They're not geraniums, okay? They're just busy being what they are. What they are, okay? That's why it's so ridiculous when anyone tries to judge other people on the basis of things like color or gender or age. We are all unique beings, so these things really are meaningless. None of us is the same color, you know? Look around, no matter what race we are. I saw something on Facebook last month. Somebody sent it. It was brilliant. Remember you were growing up, you had your box of Crayola crayons, and every crayon had the color on it, you know, red, blue, violet, magenta, peach, and there was one in that box that said flesh, and it was sort of a sick pinky kind of color, you know, sort of like me. Remember that? Well, this was an entire row of crayons. Every one of them said flesh, but they were all sorts of hues of pink and brown and white and black, all of them the same. It was a beautiful, beautiful image. You know, not only the appearance, none of us has identical preferences, whether we're talking about religion or sex or politics. And none of us thinks exactly like anyone else, as long as we are using our God-given ability to think for ourselves. None of us is either this or that. We are all a blend. We cannot be categorized unless we do it to ourselves, because we do not exist in categories, okay? We exist on a spectrum that goes infinitely far that way and infinitely far that way. And the entire range, the entire spectrum that we are on from end to end, this is the part we need to recognize, the entire spectrum is God. Is God. All of it, okay? End to end. So none of us is any closer to God than anyone else. It's all life. And we need to respect and to celebrate, as Angela said, all of it, not just the area around us or the parts that we agree with. Now, it appears to me, and I'm going to be generous here, that we are all just a little bit confused. Okay, that's all, which is actually a good thing, because a little confusion shouldn't be all that hard to clear up. Most of us were taught to believe that if we don't emphasize our differences, we will lose our individuality. Anybody ever hear that? I've heard it most of my life. But that isn't true at all, not at the level where it counts. Now, it's obvious on the physical level that we're all different from one another in a lot of ways, but we are all identical on the spiritual level. So we should be able to enjoy and appreciate our mental and our physical differences without overemphasizing them and without basing our identity upon them. There's a lovely story I heard a few years ago. I think I've told it once or twice through the years, but it's a beautiful story. It relates perfectly to Patrick's song. It was about a little girl who was in the second grade on the first day of school, and she happened to be white, going to school in the South in 1964 when the schools were beginning to be open to people of color because of the Civil Rights Act. And this little girl came home from the first day of school, and when her mother asked her how her day had been, she said it was scary. There were grown-ups yelling at each other. There were army and policemen all over the place. But then, the little girl said, I was just sitting there at my desk in the classroom, and a black girl came in the classroom, and she walked over and she sat down right next to me. And the mother very quietly said, so what did you do? And the little girl said, oh, mommy, we were both just so scared we held hands all day, you know? Everybody go, oh, okay, you know, yeah. But isn't that a beautiful image? It's a beautiful image. You see, this child only saw another little girl who was just as scared as she was. That's all she saw. She could only see how they were the same instead of how they were different, which is truly a beautiful thing. That's what we should all be looking for all the time. If someone walks into Starbucks or the grocery store where we are wearing a turban or a burqa or a prayer shawl or a yarmulke or whatever it is, our first thought should not be, oh, there's a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jew. Our first thought should be, our first response in here, which is where it all starts, look, another person honoring God in their own way. How nice. How nice. Okay? Unless, of course, they're supposedly honoring God through violence or persecution, which doesn't honor God at all. A writer by the name of Michel de la Montaigne, Italian actually, once said this. He said, the most universal quality is diversity. Sounds a little counterintuitive, but it's a really great statement. When people try to make us feel inferior about who we are, they are trying to tell us that they are made in the image and likeness of God and we're not. They're trying to tell us that they know the right way to live and that we don't. Which is why, if we are not firmly in touch with our spiritual identity, with our own divinity, not our identity, our divinity, we become afraid that they might be right. Okay? That's why our response is usually to fight back. But fighting is never as effective as knowing the truth and living that truth with our whole being, as Rosa Parks did, as Dr. King did, as so many people did. Now, Mahatma Gandhi taught us, and Dr. King carried on his message, both gentlemen were remembering in the season for nonviolence, that if we remember always that we are all divine spiritual beings, then there's never a thing that we need to fear. If we remember that there's no place in the world or in the universe for that matter where God is not, there's nothing that can harm us. And that is a powerful place to be. Something else we need to remember is that whenever we judge someone based on some belief or characteristics they have, we're not defining them, we're defining ourselves. We're defining ourselves. In fact, we're telling our own consciousness what we fear. What we fear. And every single judgment that we make about other people, whether it's directly to their face or in the privacy of our own mind, which is much more dangerous, makes our own world that much smaller. And eventually we find ourselves building a very small box, and we are crowded in there with people who look like us, think like us, and act like us. In other words, with people who are very boring. Okay? And living in a box makes it hard for us to grow. Now, Dr. Holmes says in The Science of Mind, the thing we are looking for is the thing we are looking with. You've heard me say that, David, all of us. That means if we love and respect and appreciate ourselves, we'll find it much easier to love and respect and appreciate others, even if they don't return the favor. You get it? Even if they don't return the favor. In fact, that's the real test. Can we honor someone without being honored in return? Now, if you want to know whether you are really grounded in spiritual awareness, look at how much respect you have for people who are very different from you. But don't answer too quickly. Maybe you're just fine with people who look different from you. You know, most of us got past that a long time ago, okay? But how are you with people who think differently? That's when it gets interesting. Can you sit down with people whose political or religious beliefs are completely different from yours and respect their beliefs even if you don't agree with them? And can you keep smiling and stay open while you do it, okay? That's the hard part. not groaning and rolling your eyes, saying, looking at your watch, you know, I can't wait till I get out of here. We don't have to think the way everyone else thinks, but we do need to pay close attention to what we are thinking when we're interacting with other people. If we form our opinions about other people because of the beliefs of a group that we belong to, we are doing ourselves and the people around us a great disservice. But the funny thing is, if we form our beliefs purely in opposition to someone else's beliefs, we're doing virtually the same thing. In either case, we are not choosing our own beliefs based on true spiritual principles. You see, if we listen, and that's what this teaching is about, learning to listen, each one of us has a voice within us. Not a schizophrenic voice, it's a different kind of voice, okay? That knows us better than anyone else in the world. And that still, small voice that resonates within us is the mind of God speaking through us in a way that is unique to us. And all the great spiritual teachers have told us to listen to this voice very carefully, to trust it, and to follow it. Why? Because it's the same voice speaking to all of us in a way that only we can understand. Because of who we are. The beauty of it is, if every single one of us, not just in this room, this city, this state, if everyone everywhere started to listen to this inner voice, to this inner wisdom, and to use what it tells us both to communicate and to understand, our differences would no longer matter. They'd still be there, but we wouldn't notice them anymore. That is the only way, with all the political stuff going on right now, that's really the only way that we are going to be able to rise above the challenges that the world is facing now, one person at a time, until the consciousness of the entire world reflects the healing consciousness of the power that created it all. I want to close with something the Dalai Lama wrote about 15 years ago, a man I greatly respect. He said this, it's a short paragraph. Deep down, we must have real affection for each other, a clear realization or recognition of our shared human status. At the same time, he said, we must openly accept all ideologies and systems as means of solving humanity's problems. One country, one nation, one ideology, one system is not sufficient. It is helpful to have a variety of different approaches on the basis of a deep feeling of the basic sameness of humanity. We can then make a joint effort to solve the problems of the whole of mankind. What he's talking about is not about healing the world or healing our problems. It's about healing our separation. Healing our separation, which is something much more critical to our survival. Every single one of us has unique gifts to bring to the world, but it takes a lot of different kind of gifts to make the world complete. It's sort of like a housewarming or a wedding. If everybody brought a toaster, it wouldn't work, okay? If everybody brought the same vase, the whole idea wouldn't work. The simple fact that it takes all kinds requires us to do only two things. First, to bring to life whatever gifts we have. And second, to honor the gifts that are brought by others as much as we honor our own. When we finally figure that much out, I promise you, we will be amazed at how quickly the world will change for the better. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's take a breath, take a moment, take the ideas that resonated with you, whether you agree with them or not. If they jumbled up your mind to think a little bit, we did it right. So let's know this. I know that there is one life, one power, one love, one mind, one intelligence, and I call that power God. Whatever name I choose to call it, I recognize what this presence is within me. It is the best of what I am. It is the best of what every person is. And it is the best of humanity as a whole. I recognize that in this world of confusion and chaos, with all the different conflicting ideas and the egos and the anger and the fear, that many things happen in the world of effect that we wish had not happened, where people are hurt, people suffer loss, people suffer pain. But I recognize that all of these things are not created by God or religion. They are created by false thinking. They are created by misguided beliefs. They are created by ignorance. So as I begin to get in greater touch with the part of me that knows something better and create a space in my consciousness for all of those around me to know something better, whether they're doing so or not, we begin to create an opportunity. We begin to plant a seed that can grow into the world and the life and the relationships that we all should have together. I know this is possible. I see it in small pockets here and there. I see people like Rosa Parks and Dr. King and Mahatma Gandhi and so many other people who are stepping into the world being the gift that they have to bring to the world. So from this moment on, I bring my greatest gifts. I bring the best ideas I know. I bring the most love I can possibly find. And I bring the intelligence that I know is mine, recognizing that same love and intelligence and power in every other person, wanting to connect, ready to connect, all of us together. So I awaken myself to the differences in other people. I smile and see that those differences expand us. I no longer allow them to divide us. I focus my consciousness on a greater idea, and I do this with thanks. I do this with thanks for the infinite variety of the world. I do this with thanks for the awareness that I have through a greater spiritual understanding. And I give thanks simply for being a part of this amazing thing we call life. This is my truth. I accept it and I release it into consciousness, letting it be so. And so it is.